Greetings, it's Dr. Burnett, publishing pusher, the all-in-body place of encouragement, cultural empowerment. Weekly, she'll engage conversations with entrepreneurs and creatives. And these insightful interviews are designed to help us build our businesses, respective brands, ourselves, and to hopefully propel us to that next level of greatness. Big Boss. So with no time to waste time, it's officially go time.
Okay, so hi everyone, Dr. Annette here, the publishing pusher. I have worked with some wonderful people since like 2016, helping them to create their book products. Our book author tonight is new to the game, and I'm excited in the work that she has done in the book that she has worked on for about the last year. I guess it's been short of a year, but
yeah,
she didn't rush the process, y'all. I was like telling people, there's no hurry. If you've been thinking about it for a long time and you've waited all of this time, there's no hurry. It'll get done if you just stay right in the race. And so I'm excited to say that Lee Forrester, who is our author that we will be talking about to tonight about her book, but we're not going to just be talking to her about her book. We're going to be talking to Lee about her life, about things that she's doing, about how she's moving and shaking in her community and other things, and how all of her pieces are coming together. So it's always exciting to see how the author becomes an entrepreneur, and now they're out there getting their books in the hands of other people, talking about it and engaging and just building themselves up for what has been placed in them. That predestined plan, I like to call it. So what I want to do as we get started, I want to give Lee a couple of minutes to introduce. I'm telling you about my experiences with Lee, so I know what she does, but I want her to tell you who she is, where she's from, how she connected, and what she is doing, and then we'll come back and ask some questions.
Perfect. So yeah, thank you for this opportunity, by the way. And so I wear a few hats, as many of us women do. So mother, I was a registered nurse, and now working as a health coach and helping women primarily in the 40s and 50s to get into that state of optimal health and feel great. And having that medical background, is you always use that. There are some positions I think you just always are that person. It's a part of who you are, and the nurturing, caring person. So that comes into everything I do. And I have raised two daughters and now an author. I have started to podcast and, speaking on some virtual stages, waiting on some in-person ones to become available when they are the right fit. And hopefully I'll be known as a friend and neighbor and daughter and things like that too. Yes.
So one of the things that you'll learn about Lee is, you know, she talked about that she was an RN. And just how she's worn different hats in different seasons, but how they seem to all kind of fall into place in this particular season of her life. Now, this is your first book. Did you have your copy with you?
I have it nearby.
I'm going to put this one up. I have a review copy of Lee's book, and it is called Kippers and Capes, A Young Nurse's Plight. And this is a photo memoir. So Lee, in her way early days, to keep some pictures and add some pictures. And she had thoughts that had just been ruminating, as they say, marinating in her brain. And she brought it together in this book. So Lee, could you tell us why this book was important for you to do and to get out, and who you believe it could benefit?
Yeah. And, you know, the book is based way back, and it seems in some ways the memories are quite vivid, but it really was in some ways, you know, it's kind of like a lifetime ago. And so initially the book was really for me. I kept saying I really should write a book, and the stories wouldn't leave me. And I just, you know, sometimes you need to listen. And what became very clear was that you should write it down. Stop talking about one day I'm going to write a book. I'll write a book. Well, then write it. Why don't you write it? Because you don't even need to go and hardly do any. It's not like I need to go research. These are my stories that I have in my head. It'll be something that my children can read and maybe the children's children and families. And it's interesting. And, you know, as I wrote the book, things came into my awareness in the last few years worldwide. We've been through some major, major things as humans in this world. No matter what country you are in, you were touched in some way or another by world events. And this was a time way before that when things are much simpler. And what became apparent was how valuable nurses and doctors and other healthcare workers were. They were always doing the work. They were always working that hard. It was always very stressful. It was always very intense, but it seemed to come to light. And even as towards the end of the book, it really kind of hit home how this, in some ways, even though that was not my intention, was rather timely. And I kept the book on the light and the sweeter side of things because I really just wanted it to be a tribute. I wanted it to be positive. There's enough other things I could have sure brought in that maybe were not the greatest or nicest things that happened during that time. That in my heart of hearts, that's not really where I wanted to go with it. And so I just wanted it to be a memory, and it will have a life now of its own as to how I go forward with it.
And you said, Lee, you know, it will be available for your children and your children's children. So what I hear you saying is legacy.
Right.
There's going to be something in the long run. We do these books, everyone. We get our copyrights on these books. And then we have our books in the public so people can get our books and resources. I think it's now 75 or 100 years after our death or something, your book still belongs to you. And then after that, somebody can get your copyright or get a new copyright on it. I think it's important for us to, I just had a conversation with someone earlier today, like, what am I gonna do with my resources if I die? Like, how am I going to pass my stuff down? If I have my stuff on other sites, how will I be able to, or somebody will be able to get the content that I have out there and be authorized to use it? So these are very important things. I don't know if you thought about any of that, Lee.
Not quite so much. Yeah, I was just, you know, getting it all together and getting to this point. And then it's a real thing because I talked about it. This thought became a thing. Literally became a thing from something I thought about and thought about, much like even becoming a nurse was a thought. I thought about that for a long time as a child until it became a real thing. So, yeah.
Well, there's nothing like having a vision and then being able to, as Habakkuk 2:2 says, be able to pull that vision out. We can't make it plain until we get it out of here, because inside of here is everything is everywhere. But once we are able to pull it out, I always say, I love notebooks. I have pads everywhere and I am always writing things down. So it comes out of here and it goes on a piece of paper or a notebook before it ever goes into a word processor or anything. I just feel like I can resonate with it better when I do that. But everybody, that's not the way everybody works. But guess what? If you have a story like Lee and you want to tell it, there are many ways for you to be able to get it out. If you aren't able to write, guess what? People that can't write can still publish books, okay? So there are ways if you really want to do it. And like Lee worked on this almost a year to get it out. But guess what? She got it done. She got it done. So she will have that legacy for her family, for generations to come, for generations to come. Now, I want to read one of the reviews on the back of your book, because you said, you know, you wanted to keep your book on the light side. And it says, I have just finished reading the manuscript, Kippers and Capes by Lee Forrester. And I must say, it is an awesome read. As an RN, I could reflect on my former training days and how things have evolved. Lee provided a practical review of nursing training years ago, capturing great and fun memories, informative read. Now, I probably would not have thought to do such a book as this, but I have seen the development of the book and I was like, wow, this really makes good sense. So what I'm saying is sometimes when you first get started, it looks like it's all over the place. What do you say, Lee?
Yeah, it definitely took shape as time went on. And, once you get writing, because then things started to come out, other memories that I didn't even remember that I remembered started to come too, which is incredible. And then even after I had some of those preliminary previews, it still opened it up even some more. So in the end, I was glad I took the time that I did to make it not rushed, but really full bodied, so to speak.
Yeah. And I think you really did. We did a great job. And it's a lesson. Let me put this back up again. It's Kippers and Capes, A Young Nurse's Plight. A Young Nurse's Plight. If you're a nurse, this would be a fun little read. I think kids would find this very fun to read and learn about things that they had. They had bedpans? Wait a minute. How did they use a bedpan? So it would be a very great conversation piece. I think you've done a great job with this. And I love that it's easy to read because a lot of times people want to get to the point. They want to get to the meat of the matter. And it's one thing if they want to read a novel, they know it's going to take them a long time. But most right. people want to be able to open that book and go through it and then decide later that they want to come back through it. So great That's job. Right. Great job. So we talked about the book, but I also want to talk about you, Lee. Because we talk about how you started, you were RN, you were in the UK. How did you get from the UK to the US?
Right. Well, even before I became an RN, I decided, so I was 15 years old when I made up my mind that, and I had no idea how it was all going to happen. That's the beauty of youth. So sometimes we don't worry about all of the details. So I decided at age 15 that I was going to become a registered nurse, and then I was moving to America. That's all I knew. Don't know where in America. I don't know how it's going to happen. That I just made that up in my mind and somehow just kept that locked and loaded. So then that was my focus. And so, of course, I go into nurse training. I always love kind of anatomy and physiology. I was a little bit of a nerd about how things worked. And I got into the nursing school of choice. It was a neighboring town. It was a really, really rich experience, just for so many reasons. I grew up in a very kind of small town and very kind of, very sheltered environment. So it was a great opportunity to step outside of the boundaries of my home and my city and hang out with other people from other walks of life. And so a really rich experience. I learned a lot. And it's not like it was wonderful the whole time. There were definitely days I thought, I don't think I want to do this anymore. And there was an opportunity that came up. Actually, I was reading a nursing journal. So I'm now a registered nurse. I'm getting one of those monthly or weekly nursing journals. And I happened to notice it was a small sign. It's very tiny. There was a little few liners. And it was about becoming a camp nurse in America. And I thought, huh. That sounds interesting. I mean, in a way, it was kind of crazy because it meant I needed to give in my notice for my job, my solid job that I'd worked all those years for, to go and work at a summer camp in America for 6 weeks. I didn't take a leave of absence. I just quit my job. I'm not sure what I thought I was going to do when I got back. I had no responsibilities except for myself. So I came to America and I ended up in California. That's where the camp was, a place I'd never been before, knew no one. I was a camp nurse, which was very fun, had a great time. And then I said, this is the spot. This is it right here. This is where I'm coming back to. Don't know how, I don't know when, but this is where I'm coming back to. I came back the following year and moved and never went back, essentially. So it's, you know, it's planting that seed in your mind, in your heart, and then taking advantage of the opportunity, because I knew if I stayed in the UK long enough, I would get all the things that a young woman would acquire, such as maybe a spouse and a house and a car. And all of those things would get in the way of my master plan.
I decided that's smart. That's smart, because many people don't think about that, you know, like the short of the long term, basically. So it showed that you had wisdom as a young person. So you get to the US and you're doing your nursing thing. But I heard you say you're not doing nursing any longer. You're coaching. And what type of coaching are you doing? And tell us again who this coaching is.
So I, you know, towards the end of my time that I was in nursing, and I also was looking for something else. I knew there was something else I wanted to do, but couldn't quite figure that out. And so you bide your time until you know it's time to step off. And it became apparent I was really leaning towards a more holistic approach to care as opposed to standard care. And so I now focus on women in their 40s and their 50s, and you can be at the tail end of your 30s and you can be the beginning of your 60s. I'm not that discriminatory, but essentially women at a time in their lives when they've often worked hard, raised their families, and now it's time to start looking at themselves and how you want to spend the next decades of your life. So helping women get into optimal shape. So I both do nutrition coaching, and I also became a personal trainer in recent years. And so now that's what I do. And I coach, I teach, write digital products on various aspects of fitness and feeling good or getting rid of the bloating. And so it really is my, I won't say it's my zone of genius, because, and again, the medical background really helps, but really helping women lose the weight they want and feel great and have optimal health.
So Lee, that's wonderful. That you found your niche area, the people that what you offer can serve. Oftentimes people choose areas to work in based on something that has happened in their life or some type of experiences they've had. Was that true for you?
Yeah, it was. So I grew up essentially being somewhat overweight. And very early on in the nursing career, I realized the correlation between diet and lifestyle and disease, especially chronic illnesses. And I wanted to make sure if at all I could do anything by eating, especially it was more about eating at that time, that I wanted to make sure I did what was possible. So I realized I could change my body composition by the way I ate, which helped me feel better. I wasn't feeling unwell being overweight. I was just overweight. But I wasn't restricted by it. But a lot of things go with that in terms about how you feel about yourself, confidence, posture, how you show up for yourself. So it just became a win-win-win once I realized that I had these tools and abilities that I can A, use for myself and then share with others. And I know this is a time in a woman's life, oftentimes maybe post-children, she might be sandwich generation, taking care of kids and parents. And she sometimes is on the back burner. And really, it's about hope as well, that despite what is said about you at this season of your life, that in fact, you can be thriving and be very healthy.
So Lee, do you think that oftentimes, because you talk about women focusing so much on others, their children, spouses, parents, and all of these other things, that they often haven't really focused on themselves. Have you seen where this creates maybe self-esteem issues with people? And just quickly, could you tell us something that you could say to someone who is maybe listening or be listening later, who is in that rut, as we call it?
Right. I think women, we were often very much the carer and the nurturer. And I think we have taken it upon ourselves, yes, to do all these amazing things that we do. But we think in taking care of ourselves, it's almost selfish or that we shouldn't be doing that. And in fact, if you're going to, you're almost like running a ship. And there's so many components to running a, say, a cruise liner. And you're running that cruise liner. You are the head of that ship. And what other people see is that ship come and go and come and go. What an amazing cruise liner. But in fact, you could be struggling with fatigue, loss of confidence in your body, feeling body shame, having lack of energy. But we blaze on because we're kind of wired that way. And we've seen that with parents, grandparents, aunties, grandmas. But in fact, if we're not feeling our best, eventually we come to maybe a bit of a grinding halt, or just don't, we kind of, you know, start to lose it. But in order to run your home and cook and, you know, take care of the home and your children, maybe your parents and maybe your job, and maybe you're involved in church and ministries and outreaches, you have to take care of yourself to do all of that. How will you continue to keep doing that if you don't take care of yourself? And really, it's all about letting those components know what you need, because they see you keep showing up. Clearly, she's fine. But you let them know, when I come home from work, maybe I just need 5 or 10 minutes to sit down by myself with a cup of tea, and then I'll be all yours for the rest of the evening. So it's training others how to treat you also. And if you don't tell them, oftentimes, they just don't know.
So, you know, you said if you don't train them, they often don't know. So it sounds like we have to be willing to use our voice. We have to be willing to speak up. And for many people, you have to learn how to speak up, because if you've never done it, or if you've been content to sit on the back burner, I always like to tell people, if it's festering in your head, then you might as well get it out in the air. Or you can keep letting it fester till you stress yourself or burn yourself out, which isn't going to be beneficial to one in the long process.
Exactly. And it's not even, you don't even have to complain. You're just saying, I would like, you know what? I'm just going to, when I get home, I think I'm just going to sit for 10 minutes and then we'll do X, Y, and Z. Or on the weekend, I think I'm going to do X, Y, and Z. And maybe there'll be a little protest initially, maybe. But after you keep that up consistently, people are like, that's your way of training without having to make a lot of noise about it. Just let people know what you need, because they won't know otherwise. And it's not selfish, and it doesn't mean taking time away necessarily. Maybe that walk or that bike ride is with everybody, so you're having some self-care, but everybody's with you and you're on your bike at a different place on the path. There's different ways to express that, and just first of all, figure out what it is you want and need. Figure that out. What do you really, really need? And I think everybody knows inside what they need. Maybe they need quiet time. Maybe they need to sleep in a little extra. Maybe Mother's Day is spent alone. Maybe you just want to be by yourself and not do anything at all. So figure out what you need, first of all, and then tell everybody else in a casual way, much like you'd tell a friend, whatever it is you need to express.
So I was talking to some ladies one day, and somebody was saying, oh, my spouse said I was being selfish because, you know, I said on, you know, every other Saturday morning, I'm going to go get a pedicure or something like that. And I said, actually, self-care does not mean you are being selfish. We have to be selfless with ourselves sometimes. We're selfless with everybody else. We're going above and beyond for everybody else, but we have to take care of ourselves as well. Because guess what? If we get burned out in the process of taking care of other people, and then something happens to us, they can't function, we can't function.
Exactly right. So it's looking at the big picture and deciding what you need the most. And as nurses, where, you know, you can work as a nurse and then maybe you come home and your mother, you just switched hats. We're always wearing several hats. Know when to push back and say, not at this time. Maybe circle back with me 3 months, 6 months, a year. I can't handle that right now. I've got a lot on my plate. It's just finding the words to let people know I'm really at my maximum. I don't think I can take that on right now. I don't think I'd serve this mission so well right at this point. I think we're at a time in history where it's time for women to just really be in tune with how they feel and be be okay with that. It doesn't make you less of a woman or a wife, or a daughter, if you're, or whatever it is, hats we wear, if you're not able to do all the things all the time. It's, if you put it like that, it's, doesn't it sound reasonable? We can't be everything to everyone.
No. You know, I was thinking of the word no. N-O. And I like to see, say that is such a positive word when used correctly. That is such a freeing word when it's used correctly. What do you think about that, Lee? I'm sure you utilize that when you're talking to your clients.
Yes, it's okay. It really is. It's a real word. It doesn't have to be mean or aggressive. There's yes and there's no. Not at this time, maybe later, maybe not ever. It's okay. It really is okay. And just that we teach those to our, you know, if you have children, we teach them to how to stand up for themselves. And oftentimes some of that parenting we do, we just need to do that for ourselves, actually. And I find I give women a lot of permission to take care of themselves and assert themselves. And asserting doesn't have to be aggressive. It's just recognizing what you need or you're needing. And then doing that for yourself so that you can enjoy your life, the quality of your life so much more and not be burnt out and do the things that you really want to do.
And I know that you work with women, but the principles that you use are beneficial to men as well. Do you ever,
absolutely,
do you ever coach any men, or is it just predominantly women that you're working with?
You know, predominantly women, but I do like working with men because they think a little bit differently sometimes. And so it's a different conversation. But again, I will always use things that are comparable to what a person does for their life or their livelihood and use language from their world so it makes sense. So they can, like, I use analogies a lot and people will get what I mean. A woman with a child or young children, or if you have pets, and we're talking about food and portions, I'll explain to them how this thing that you're struggling with, you're already doing this with your children or your pets or some other avenue in your life. And we just, it's the same principle, turn it around to yourself.
Yeah, I really like what you're doing, Lee. And I want to remind everybody, Lee's book is Kippers and Capes, A Young Nurse's Plight. And she has a photo memoir. So in her book, she has a picture, a photo, and then she tells you what was happening at that particular time. Sometimes she even says the shifts and the changes from then to now. And also, you know, how those things made her feel during that season. But like I said, it's a very easy read. The woman there, she looks like she's the nurse. She has power. You know, when I think of a cape, I always think of power. You know, there's an extra force of energy when I see, you know, characters with capes on.
Very
I don't
much
know if
so.
That was your, if you ever thought of that, Lee, in respect to nursing and their capes and the importance of that.
Right. And it came about, initially I was thinking about it in its very practical sense. It was a cape that covered you up as you went from maybe one hospital wing to another and to protect your uniform, to keep it clean, but to keep you warm. But then as the story and the book evolved, it was right. It is a cape because really nurses have, they are super women, super men. They have superpowers and they do amazing, incredible things every single day.
Yes. Listen, we have to have nurses. We got doctors, but the doctors can't function without the nurses. You know, you just have to know that. And I tell my nurse sometimes, I said, you work harder than the doctor, do you? She just laughs. She just looks at me and she just laughs. But we know. So as we are getting close to the end of our time, Lee, I want to give you the opportunity to tell people how they can get your book. Tell people how they can connect with you as well. And any final thoughts that you want to leave with the listeners?
Well, let me do the final thought first in that.
Okay.
All of us have a story in us about something or another, you know, and putting it down on paper. If you are fortunate enough even to have parents, ask some very specific questions about their life, where they were born, what they, what was a highlight of their youth, what job did they really want? All of us have got untold stories. And if you've got elders in your family, get those stories and write them down. You might not write a book, but get those questions answered that you're curious about. You know, was your husband or my granddad your first pick, or if your parent was there somebody, how did the romance go? What was your first job? How did you feel about school? And did you get into trouble a lot? Anything that you're curious about, you know, sometimes we see them at a latter part of their life and we don't realize they were kids once too. They were adolescents once too. So get those stories, even if you're not going to publish it, but write these things down. And then the ways to contact me, the book, by the way, Kippers and Capes with my name, is available on Amazon. And if you're following me on Facebook, it's by my name. And then also my Instagram account is @coachingbylee, and Lee is L-E-E, as you see here on the screen. So those are ways, if you're interested in fitness or feeling better, enhancing your health, whether it's weight loss or not, those are great places to connect with me, and I'll always get back to you and love interacting and hearing your stories, maybe your nursing stories or your wellness story or what you'd like it to be, because we're all practicing for who we're going to be in the next 2, 5, 10, 15, and however many years we have, we start practicing today. So do not wait, whether it's going to be writing or changing and up-leveling your health and your life.
That was good. So listen, everybody, thank you again for joining us. We know that others will be listening in as we put this on various platforms, but I want to remind everyone, you are listening or have listened to Lee Forrester. Her book is Kippers and Capes, A Young Nurse's Plight, and it's a photo memoir. Great little book, easy read, nice, fun little pictures to look at. And I want to thank Lee again for taking the time out to come and share with us on the Dr. Annette Publishing Pusher podcast. And you can reach us on, find us on different platforms. But listen, I'm going to be posting Lee's information as well. So this podcast will air, or this podcast show will air every week on Thursday. So there will be a new show every Thursday. And I look forward to the many people that I will have the blessed opportunity to connect with in the coming weeks, months, and probably years, because we just never know. But Lee, thank you again so much, Lee Forrester, for coming in and sharing with us on this day. And I want to remind everybody, I love to say, you are blessed to be a blessing. And remember, you are the visible manifestation of His invisible presence. And we will see you next time. Thanks for joining us. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Dr. Annette.
You're welcome. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to Dr. Annette's Chat Podcast, brought to you by John A. Publishing. Be sure to stay tuned in for future conversations and engagements. Check out the website, jotnatepublishing.org, and subscribe to this show on your preferred podcast app. Shout out to 95 for the production. Be blessed and be a blessing. Peace.